I got to have the privilege of going to a church last Sunday that was not our church, and it was a very interesting experience, and I'd like to talk to you about that. Can I do that? This is going to be bearing my soul a little bit, and if I cry, just go with it, all right? So last week, my week after Sunday, started off pretty poor. I was winning the Best Husband Award. Husbands, you know what that is? It means you're doing a really crappy job of being a husband. So that's how I started out my week. My wife and I, we had a spat. And my wife and I are both the babies of our families. So you can imagine how good our battles get. We're really good at fighting. So my week started off that way. And because my wife and I are so awesome at fighting, we don't practice the whole don't go to bed angry, sadly. We don't practice that because we just like fighting, I guess. We want the other one to break first. And so we often go to bed angry during our fighting, and we often don't speak for days. So that leads up till Sunday. And we go to this beautiful thing called a dedication for our godson. And we go to this foreign church. And it was a big, beautiful church building filled with people who love Jesus, filled with pastors who are pastoring their people and doing really well. And so I am still harboring this whatever, this awesomeness of being the Best Husband Award. I was clinging to that and holding on to that with all my might because I'm that cool. And so I get to the service and I sit down and we're watching the worship happen through song. I'm listening and I think I heard almost every one of their pastors actually speak. We got to see their youth pastor. We got to see their associate pastor. We got to see their lead pastor. And so I remember during a time in this service when I was sitting there and I felt 100% nothing. Nothing. And I thought, this is odd. This is foreign. This is weird. And I remember saying to myself as I sat in this service, this whole Christianity thing's a sham. All of it. Every piece is false. That was my week last week. Fortunately, I know that that's not the truth. But here is what we go into. We're going into a study in 1 John. Well, someone likes John. And we're going to go into 2 John after that. We might get crazy enough, we'll go into 3 John. We might just do all the Johns. Since you guys are just eating out of the palm of my hand right now, yeah. What else can I give you? So we're going into 1 John, and it's interesting because we spoke on this on the very first Sunday in January when I kind of did this vision casting as far as where we were going and how we were going to be talking about who we are as a community together of believers. And I remember the verse that God gave me was 1 John 1:5. And I didn't understand it then. And do you guys remember what that was about walking in the light? In him there is no darkness. You guys remember that? Okay, good. Really impactful. So I spoke on that, and then it's interesting that God would have us come back and be in 1 John again. And so 1 John, it opens. I'm not going to go into the second half that we've already done. But I'm gonna open with just the first five verses of 1 John. If you guys have your Bibles, do you guys have Bibles? Anybody need a Bible? They are free. We like to give you Bibles, okay? We will give you a paper copy of a Bible. If that's not cool enough for you, there are things called apps, applications. You can download them via Google Play. Is that what it is? Google Store? What is it? Android nerds? Matt, help me out. Google Play. Or you can go to your iStore and download a cool Bible called the YouVersion Bible for free. And it's got every Bible known to man and woman. Deal? That's funny. That's funny. I like this crew over here. They laugh with me. So if you have a Bible, I want you to follow along with me. I don't have it on the screen because I was lazy this week. Today, this week was spring break, and I had my kids all week long. Yeah. I love public school. I love what they do for my sanity. Okay? And even private school, I'm sure, does that for everybody else too, whatever. I'm not discriminating. Lab school, folks. Hey. So 1 John says this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. And this is John. This is a guy who followed Jesus. There's discrepancy as to whether or not this was actually written by the John who wrote John and 1 John and so on, the Gospel of John. There's discrepancies as to whether he actually wrote it, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all that kind of stuff. As to the people that he mentions in his letters, there's some discrepancy there because the John that we know to be like the cousin of Jesus, the first cousin of Jesus, he wouldn't have known some of these people that he's mentioning in his letters. And so who knows who wrote it? A guy named John wrote it. You know who wrote it? You were clearing your throat. Go for it. It's John. It's a man named John. So, and it was written around 90-ish AD, 90, 95. They even have a hard time pinpointing that. So this guy named John is writing, and he's a disciple of Jesus, and he says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, meaning himself and the other disciples, which we have seen with our eyes, meaning himself and the other disciples, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life, meaning Jesus. The life, meaning Jesus, appeared. We have seen it, and we testify to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also, us, may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. So I opened up telling you about my awesome Father Award, right? I didn't feel any joy last week. I felt, what is the opposite of joy? Stupid. I felt no joy last week, and it was literally all week long because of the things I choose to adopt into my week. By the choices I make to say, hey, you know what? I know what needs to happen. I know where I'm screwing this up. I know I need to say I'm sorry. I know I need to ask for forgiveness from my wife. I know that I'm not being a good example for my family. I know I'm not being a good example for my children. I know I'm not doing any of these things that I should be doing, but hey, you know what? I don't care. I would rather live here. I'd rather live as this angry troll who just goes against anything that God has asked of me. And I find it funny that God would have me teaching on 1 John. And I make no mistake, there is no mistake as to why I was called out and not able to teach last week. I believe that with, I'm not going to cry, with everything that's in me, I believe that. I believe God said, you will not be fit this week. So you're going to go sit and be angry in another church. And so I read these words of 1 John, and I read John, and what he's saying is that we, you know, have seen, and we have heard, and we have touched, and we have walked with this guy named Jesus. And everything he said, everything that he did, everything that he asked of us is 100% truth and is 100% good. And we are going to sell our lives out for that. And we want you, the people that he's writing this letter to, this letter reaches us how many thousands of years later, we want you to be a part of that as well. So that why? So our joy can be complete. And it's easy to read some of these words and gloss over some of this stuff because, you know, you're just reading a book, reading some good stuff. You know, John, he actually really wasn't the most eloquent man. He was very repetitive and redundant. He kept talking about we've heard several times, we've seen several times, and then he kind of repeats that in the next few verses. But he talks about, we do this, we tell you these things, we come to you, we sell our lives out so that our joy can be made complete. So if their joy is made complete by selling their lives out to who God is and who Jesus says we need to be and who Jesus displayed who and how we need to respond to one another, that probably means that my joy should be complete somehow, right? These are the same things that are open to me. These are the same things that are open to you. These are the same things that God calls every single one of us to. And here's what I do with that. I take this beautiful gospel, all this book, In a course of a second, I turn it off. In the course of a second, I'm able to just say, I'm not going to do any of that because I know better. And then what happens is you watch my life just nosedive right into the ground. And it hurts. And it's not a fun place to be. Anybody gone against God in this room before? How did it end up? Poorly. And it's really interesting because I read these words. My joy could be made complete if I would own the salvation that Jesus has given me. I don't have to live like I choose to sometimes. I don't have to be a poor display of Jesus to my children. I don't have to continue to receive the best husband of the ward, year award. If I own what God did for me, and not only if I own what God did for me, but if I look at other people with those same eyes. God, your desire was that my joy be made complete through hearing about who you are, through believing in who you are and what you said you were going to do. My joy can be made complete by just being obedient to what you say and living out what Scripture teaches. These things are attainable. Now, what I'm not telling you is that joy is not, it's just not an easy thing. But joy does not depend upon the elimination of things that weigh us down or trouble us. Joy comes from the deep trust of knowing that you are in relationship with God. It doesn't depend on whether you are the collateral damage of a husband that just can't get his head out of his butt. Weird phrase. I just had a vision of that. And I don't know why, you know, it sounds funny. Any artists, please draw that for me and show it to me after this. But joy comes from the deep trust of knowing that you are in relationship with God who has given us life in the midst of our death. It's not contingent on the latest Facebook rant that you've read. It's not contingent on your spouse. It's not contingent on your kids being at home all day on spring break. It helps, though. It's not contingent on any of this stuff. Our joy comes from what Jesus did for us. Do you guys know what Jesus did for us? Do you guys know who Jesus is? Jesus is God's Son, sent to be a sacrifice on our behalf. And what that means is he was destroyed for us. What that means is everything that Jesus did, he came and he walked on this earth for about 33 years or so, and he tried to teach these people who are just like us, who are winning Husbands of the Year awards, who are having week-long battles with their spouse, who are fighting their coworker, who are robbing themselves of joy. And he said, look, you don't have to do this anymore. There's another way. And you can find joy in what I've given you. And that should be the only thing that you care about. And how you live this joy out, how you present me to other people, is what's going to make your joy complete and what's going to make their joy complete if you represent me as I'm asking you to represent me through Scripture. Jesus never promised an easy life, did he? Joel Osteen may be teaching that right now. That was a joke. Good. But you never see Jesus promise an easy life, but you do see Jesus promise a joyous salvation. And this is something I kind of been stewing on for, I don't know. This last summer I went on a motorcycle ride with Craig Johnson, our discipleship pastor, and God was just really doing a work within me, and I had a chance and an opportunity to go visit Chad, the lead planner that used to be here, the very first teaching pastor here. And I remember we were sitting in his office and we were all just kind of sharing these burdens and these woes and this horror stories kind of ministry. And I remember just sitting there thinking, man, there is no joy in what we are doing. All we were doing was like crying to one another a little bit. And I said, is this it? Is this all there is to what this ministry is about? Or is it different than this? Can it be different than this? And then I go to a wedding like the next day in Omaha, Nebraska. And there's like three or four of my pastor buddies that I grew up with that are all pastoring churches. And literally every single one of them just started unloading. And it was the same kind of thing. It was just horror story after horror story of either what's going on in their life, what's going on in their church, or what's going on in their family. And never once did I hear about this joy of this salvation, this what God had did should supersede some of this stuff, or at least give us a different lens to look at our situation with. And I rode home, I don't know how many miles, 9-10 hours or so from Omaha. We drive slow. We're bikers that go 10 miles below the speed limit. Not really. But I remember riding home and I just thought, man, where's the joy in this? And is this what I sign on for? And then God said, look at the way you define what you need to be joyful. And sadly, a lot of it comes down to ego stroke for me. Pats on the back, well done, man. Oh, you're awesome. No, I'm not. Oh, no, you really are. No, I'm not. No. That's what I, you know, my joy, you know, my kids, I'm joyful when they're seen and not heard. Or if they're a Milford man, seen, neither seen nor heard. That's how cool I am. I'm joyful when my kids leave me alone. Is that a sad testament?
Yeah.
I'm joyful when I'm not challenged in any arena of life and I just can go unchecked. I'm joyful when my job's doing all right and things at the church aren't really rocky or bumpy, which that's never happened in 6.5 years. So, you know, I'm joyful when I go a week without reading somebody ranting on Facebook from this church. About the world and the injustice that they received from it. So those things make me joyful, but those are just such a superficial line. Those are just such a superficial thing. Christ says, find your joy in me. Find your joy in the salvation that I gave you so freely. And then find your joy by going and giving that to everybody else around you. By giving that to the worst of the worst, by the people that don't deserve it. Find your joy by being me to your family. Find your joy by living out your salvation as I've asked you to with your in-laws. Find your joy in the salvation that I've given you in dealing with your wife. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we have seen it and testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you that we have seen and heard what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to you to make our joy complete. What is making your joy complete today? Is it the superficial? Some of us in this room have Jesus to fall back on. Some of us in this room have said yes to Jesus and yes to this thing that maybe we don't even understand 100%. And if you're like me, any given day you fall on one side of this fence, you're either doing awesome or you're doing really crappy. But where are you finding your joy this morning? Some of you don't know who Jesus is. Some of you have never even said, yes, Jesus, you know. I believe in you. I believe in what God did. I believe in what He did through Jesus and how Jesus is salvation. And how Jesus took on this daunting task of being a sacrifice for you and I and was destroyed on our behalf. That's not it, though. He raised. He came back from the dead, shattering any kind of death, spiritual, physical, that we could have. And so all we have to do is say we believe. But that's not it. There's a whole doing portion of this as well. You guys understand that? I didn't understand it for a long time, and after knowing who Christ was. I still don't get it today. Last week was a testament of that. So, I tell you the truth about where I'm at And I guess I'm probably not the only one in the room. I tell you the truth about how fragile this life in Christ can be because of my frailties, my humanity, my free will, my ability to really screw things up. And I tell you, this is something that I'm working on and in progress with, of this joy of salvation. And how this defines us as a community is together when we start living this out. No matter what circumstance that you're going through, and life is hard, life will get hard. Do you understand that? I'm not talking about this joyful, happy-go-lucky, nothing's going to touch you and take you out kind of a joy. Life is hard, and you will go through struggle, and life is hard, and you'll be kicked to the curb a lot of times. But in those times, we continue to go back to the joy of our salvation, the joy of what Jesus did, the joy of this grace, this mercy. And that, I say these things to you that my joy will be made complete. I say these things to you that your joy may be made complete. God, thank you for who you are. God, and I thank you for the attitude checks that you give me. God, I thank you for the real life that you allow me to live. God, and not in a way in which I don't fall, not in a way in which I don't struggle, not in a way in which I don't have cuts and scrapes and bruises, but you allow me to live in a way that tests you every day. And so this last week of just being so not where you need me to be, so not where I should be, God, you allow me to teach through that. You allow me to call people to what I experience through you. And you allow me to live that out in some of the most grotesque ways sometimes. And so, Father, this morning I pray that people who do not know who you are right now in this auditorium, the people that are just seeking and finding out who you actually are, and if you're even true, and if this thing called the Word is believable or not, God, I pray you do a mighty work in them. God, the things that I've seen and that I've heard, God, I desire that for them. God, that they would have fellowship with you and fellowship with us as we pull together and we try to change this world by living lives of grace and mercy and love and by striving to become better than what we are. God, there's a holiness that you call us to. There's a life that you call us to that's beyond what we're living now. So God, I pray that for these people. God, I pray that as you reveal yourself to them, that they would know the joy of your salvation and to what you did so many years ago. God, for those of us that know you and live a life of just being awesome like I did last week and continue to just live that out, God, I pray that just as you've called me to this joy, not in my circumstances, but in you and what you've called me to and what you've asked of me, God, this joy that dictates such a different lifestyle, that dictates such a different way of doing things. God, I pray you speak boldly into their lives as well. God, I pray for the transforming life change in them. God, whatever it takes, that they would know the joy of your salvation and that their joy would be made complete in that. And that their joy will be continue to be made complete in that. And that by extension, everybody around them and their family and their workplaces, wherever they are, God, that would just spill out to everybody around them. God, we thank you for Siri. We pray that that app improves. God, may we find joy in your salvation. And everybody said, amen. I guess my prayer was over. Guys, I'm happy to be your pastor here. I'm happy to be here on the stage. And one thing you'll never get from me is, that's not even true. Caleb Hebert, doggone it. He caught me last week on one of those days. And Caleb Hebert, I've told you about this guy. Don't hang out with Caleb. He was on the screen earlier talking about death wishes. This dude can read people. And I think I do a pretty good job of not being read, but I do a pretty good job of reading people. But Caleb has this superpower. And he comes over to the house, and he's like, how you doing? And he could just see it on me. And I said, I'm fine. Uh-huh. No, how you doing? And I just didn't want to talk about it. But I love being your pastor. I love being here. I love being real with you. And that's what I expect out of you guys. I expect this real raw. If you're struggling, I get it. I get it. But together we strive for the joy of salvation. That's what we fall back on. Amen. Grace and peace, guys.